Hi, this is Pastor Curtis Crawford welcoming you to our podcast. At Revive Outreach Church, we're striving to revive an awareness of Christ in our communities through Christ-centered compassion, service, and evangelism. You can learn more about us online at www.reviveoc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/reviveoutreachchurch. We hope that you enjoy this message, and God bless.
Pick up with Acts chapter 3. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and we've looked at why we so desperately need Him, that if Christ needed Him, we need Him. We looked at His transforming power, and that He could take us from what we used to be to what God wants us to be, that we don't have to remain the same. We don't have to remain the way that we've always been. Amen. That the Holy Spirit's power can transform us. That old habits can be given up. That things that tormented us can be set free.
Yes.
We looked at that the Holy Spirit, when He moves, when He manifests Himself, that He does so to bring glory to the Father, not to us, but glory to the Father and edification to the church. And this week we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 3, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 10. For any of you that have been in church any amount of time, this is not going to be new to you, but my goodness, as I look at these verses, there's so much there where the Holy Spirit is working. There's so much there that you and I can take and apply to our own lives as we walk with Christ. So Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And so he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So bear with me this morning as we go through these 10 verses. I hope that God illuminates something. The Holy Spirit will prick our hearts, allow a seed to be planted. He says here in verse 1, Luke writes, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." The ninth hour was 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and it was the time of prayer, meaning that the Jews went to the temple to pray. They went there. It was a ritual. It is something that was part of their daily routine. It is what they did. So that's the first thing that I want to point out to you, is that they were in the midst of doing what they always did. Peter and John were in their routine. Peter and John were going to the temple this day like they did the day before, the day before, the day before, and they would do the day after, the day after, the day after. They were going and doing that which they always did. It was part of their daily routine. And as they were walking into the temple, all of a sudden, for some reason this day, Peter sees this guy who calls upon him and asks him for money, asks him for gold or silver, asks him to give him something. Now, Peter and John had walked by this man over and over and over again. He had been laid at this gate called Beautiful because he was lame, and he had been lame for a very, very long time. But on this day, for some reason, Peter decides to stop when this man asks for alms and give him something. Why this day? Why at this time? Why did he stop at this moment. And the only answer that you and I can possibly derive is that there was something different this time. He had the Holy Spirit dwelling in him, and he was being directed and guided by the Holy Spirit. Now, Luke does not specifically say that the Holy Spirit told Peter to stop, whatever the case may be, but we know that something compelled him this time to stop. And he didn't just stop to pass something off. He stopped and commanded this man's attention. Amen. God was about to do something for this man that that man did not expect. But it all started with Peter being willing to be led by the Holy Spirit in the midst of his daily routine. Amen. See, you and I have our daily routines. We go to work. We go to school. Maybe we work at home, or well, you guys are stay-at-home moms. Whatever the case may be, you have your daily routine. You have what you do every day. God wants you and I to know that he would like to interrupt your daily routine. That there are opportunities to minister to those around us by the leading and the directing of the Holy Spirit if we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's voice and guidance inside of us. That means that if God leads you, you feel that pricking to speak to somebody, just to let somebody know that you're thinking about them. Don't ignore it. Do it.
Amen. Yes.
The devil's not going to tell you to encourage somebody.
Amen.
The devil's not going to tell you to pat somebody on the back and let them know that you love them or that God loves them. He ain't interested in that. He's about tearing people down. Right. So if you feel led, if you feel a prompting to love on someone, love on them. If you feel a prompting to help somebody, help them. You can't go wrong. That is the Holy Spirit prompting you and I to be active in the lives where you and I stand.
Amen.
Where you and I live. See, God doesn't call us to live outside of our lives. He doesn't call us to go and try to be bigger than where we're at. He wants us to live our lives where we're at in him right at that moment, ready for any opportunity to be used by the Holy Spirit to impact the lives of others.
Amen.
See, you've got people in your life that only you can touch. You felt pain that only you felt, that you can relate to somebody else who's been in pain. You suffered hurt that I haven't suffered, that you can minister to someone else who also is hurting in that way. You are where you're supposed to be at this moment in time, and God wants to use you where you're at right now. You don't have to overcome. You don't have to aspire to be something or move to a bigger place. You can be used right where you are at.
Amen.
See, so many times we put limits on God. Of what he can do. We have to get to this place before he can use me. We have to get to this place before he can use me. But God wants to use us right where we are at. And if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, he expects you and I to be in tune, listening for that voice, listening for that direction, listening for that guidance so that he can interrupt our daily routine to accomplish his work. So when you and I walk and live our lives, we should be living our lives such a way as looking for opportunities.
Amen.
To minister to someone.
Amen. Amen.
On our jobs, at the store, in our families, waiting, expecting God to speak to us and guide us. But we can't hear from God now if we haven't talked to him all week long.
Amen.
And we can't be directed by the Holy Spirit if we've been walking in the flesh. Got to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, then we won't obey the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the flesh, then we're going to be doing what the flesh wants. So if we want to do what the Holy Spirit is doing, we got to walk in the Holy Spirit. We've got to be seeking God. We've got to have our relationship in the right standing with him. We've got to be spending time with him, and that's when we'll be sensitive to his voice, able to hear, able to be led, able to be directed when he wants to use us.
Amen.
We have to be looking for those opportunities. And Peter and John that day, for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit prompted him to stop and do more than throw a quarter in the cup.
Amen.
Because he had a bigger plan that was greater than one single man.
Amen.
See, we limit God and think that, well, we can only do so much. And God says, you can do this much, and I'll do this much.
Right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
You do this much, and I will do this much. God says, I'm asking you to be obedient in that little thing, and watch and see what I can do with it.
Amen.
Watch and see what I can make out of that one act of being obedient to me. Verse 2 says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they had daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. This man was lame from his birth. He was broken in the eyes of society. He was only worth putting there at the gate to collect some money so he could live. He couldn't work. He couldn't earn wages. He had to rely on those around him to meet his needs. And so he had his routine. His routine was his family or whoever would take him and lay him in front of this gate called Beautiful. Now contrast, you've got a broken man laid at a gate called Beautiful. That gate called Beautiful had been created by man. Man built that gate, used precious metals to make it ornate, to make it gorgeous, to make it stand out. But yet that gate, as beautiful as it was, and as talented as those who were who crafted it, contrasted to the man who was laying there broken, who could not help himself. See, man could not heal his legs. Man could not take care of the condition that he currently had. He was going to be lame unless he experienced a miracle, mm-hmm. right? So man could build the temple. He could build this ornate, beautiful gate. But in all of his strength and all of his talents and all of his abilities, here lay a man more precious than a gate, but man could not fix him.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so every day he was brought to the gate. He was laid there and he begged for money. He had relegated himself to being his lot in life. It was his routine. It's what he did. It's how he would survive. He did it every day. They came, picked him up, laid him down. He had decided that this is all he would ever be. I will never be anything more than what I am right now, which is laid at this gate, a lame man relying on people to give to me so that I could survive. And nothing in his own willpower could change that. Nothing in his family, the people who helped him, could change that. All they could do was help facilitate the status quo. Someone hear what I'm saying this morning?
Amen.
So we got people who are facilitating the status quo.
Yeah.
They're broken. They can't find peace. They can't find comfort. They can't find joy. And so every day, they go to their gate called Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's their job. Is school, is past relationships, unhealthy relationships. It's the routine. And they lay at the gate called Beautiful, believing they are stuck where they're at to never be anything more than what they are, that this is life, and no matter how much they get, if you have a good day betting or a bad day betting, you have a good take or a bad take, everything will always remain the same because every day will be laid in front of the gate called Beautiful. The lot will never change. And the reason that's the case is you can't change you. And man can't change you. But I serve a God who can change you. You'll be unfulfilled. You'll feel like you don't have anything. Nothing you do makes you fulfilled. 9:12-3. And for his whole life, he remained the same. Because there wasn't anything man could do for him. What he needed, only God could do for him.
Thank you, Lord.
And his lot stayed the same. Only ever got exactly what he needed to be laid at the gate the next day. Living one day at a time, never in victory, never with fulfillment, because every day just gave him enough to barely make it to the next day. No joy, no peace, no comfort, no salvation. No way out. Always going to be the same. Lonely, depressed, hurt. I'm sure he was angry and bitter. Why had he been born that way? Yet on this day, the Holy Spirit, acting through a man named Peter, was about to do something for this man that only God could do.
Amen.
But it started with Peter being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit inside of him so that this man's life could be changed. And this is what I want to point out to you next. We've seen Peter and John go about to go to the temple. He asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he wanted money. What he'd always been given, what he'd always gotten, what he'd always asked for, as long as he had been laid at the gate, that's what he wanted. Because he thought that's what he had to have. Because he thought that's what had to happen. That's how he lived. Nothing ever getting better, nothing getting worse. He was in literally just a state of purgatory. Lay him at the gate. Just enough to make it. So he said, "Peter and John, give us some money." And Peter and John said, "Look at us." Now, one of the most powerful, famous scriptures in the book of Acts. Peter looks at him and says, "Hey, look this way. Don't look down. Don't look to the side. Don't keep your eyes down like you normally do. Look at us." And he says, "Silver and gold I don't have." Let's stop right there for a second. See, you and I think that if we don't have money, prestige, we have nothing to offer those in need. Okay. We think that we don't have the talent, the gift, the ability to share the gospel, the ability to help others. We've relegated God's ability to use us to material things, to things that we can quantify.
Amen.
But see, God exists outside of that. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the God who spoke something from nothing. Right? We're talking about the God who raised the dead. Right? He operates outside the laws of physics and nature. He stopped the sun in its place. Mm-hmm. That kind of God, you know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
The one who can break the rules because he set those rules in motion.
Amen.
The one that can say to the water, "You only can go this far." The one who can say to the storm, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
The one that can break the laws of physics and walk on water.
Amen.
He operates outside of that. He exists outside of all of that. So he is not limited by us.
Amen.
Right? He's not limited by my talents, my gifts, my abilities. He's not limited by my resources. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills.
Yeah.
He's not limited by what I have. See, I limit him. But he's not limited by me.
Amen.
Now I project my frailty, my lack on him. I project that, but it is not reality.
Amen.
The reality is that God exists outside of that, so therefore, at any given time, he can use this much to do something big.
Amen.
Or he can take nothing and make something from it. Peter and John had nothing. Nothing of physical value. No wealth, no money, nothing to give this man as they walked by. They had nothing to give him. So by our standards, the world's standards, what could he do? Right? I only have a dollar to put an offering, so I'm just not going to put anything in there. That's not enough. I don't know how to talk to people, so I'm not really going to, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes down and not wish that person a good day. Come on. I'm not really gifted in that area. And we have these expectations that we have to have these things. Let me tell you something. 10 years ago, I would have never been pastor of a church. 5 years ago, I didn't think I'd ever pastor a church. I didn't have the gifts, the talents, the abilities, and in a lot of ways, I still don't. I wasn't qualified, right? I laughed in God's face, literally laughed, because I wasn't qualified. I didn't have what it takes. But see, God takes the unqualified,
yes,
and he qualifies.
Yes.
Amen.
And he takes the little bit that I have to offer and you have to offer, and he makes it so that it can have a great impact.
Amen.
All you and I have to do is be obedient to the direction of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. If we will be obedient, God will do mighty things.
Amen.
And so when Peter and John look at this guy, they're not limited by their physical resources. He say, silver, gold, money, I don't have it. But the one thing that I have is the one thing that you need.
Wow.
You need an encounter of Jesus Christ,
yes,
who lives inside me. You need an encounter with the Savior that rose from the dead who lives inside of me, and he can live inside of you. See, he didn't have anything external to offer the man, but he had an internal reality, was that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again. And as a result, he can have eternal life.
Amen.
See, the only thing this world needs is for us to take the Christ on the inside and project him to the outside.
Amen. Amen.
What this world needs is believers who aren't wrapped up in politics, but are wrapped up in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and God's love to those around them.
Yes.
See, I used to be real bad about posting political posts on my Facebook page and my social media till I realized all that did was cause division.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, I still have those conversations with my family because they're my family. But when it comes to what I project to outside of other believers, listen, it ain't about politics.
Amen.
It's about God.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? So you and I have something on the inside of us, which is Christ, that we need to share. And Peter and John recognized that while they had no money, what they did have was better than money.
Amen.
Because it would forever change the man's routine.
Yes.
It would forever change his lot in life. His lot in life of begging and being lame and being lame in the gate every day and relying on others to get him there. It would forever change his lot in life. And so all he needed was an encounter with the Jesus inside of them.
Amen.
See, that's what you and I need to realize. If we want to be used by the Holy Spirit to reach those around us, if we truly, truly, truly want to see our world change and the lives of the people around us change, it starts with us recognizing that what they need is the Jesus in us.
Amen. Amen.
And that we have something to offer that's an intangible, that is needed far greater, that can change people's lives, transform the broken so that they're whole.
Yes.
Transform the lame so that they can walk again.
Amen.
Transform those who have been bound so that they can be set free.
Yes.
Amen.
What they need is the Jesus, the Holy Spirit inside of us, our Savior, our God, our Lord.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
That's what the people need. So you and I have the boldness to recognize that that's what the people around us need. The Jesus inside of us.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit who changed you to change them. The Holy Spirit who ministered to you to minister to them. The Holy Spirit's transforming power that took what seemed to be broken and made it new.
Amen.
So the man looked at him, expecting to receive something, expecting the status quo, doing what he could in his own power to change his lot in life, to make it in this world. Peter said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice that rise up and walk was followed by action. Mm-hmm. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. See, a lot of us like to pray without actually getting involved.
Wow.
Right? I'm guilty of that. I'll pray for you. You just keep your problem over there. Right?
Yes.
Oh, Pastor Curtis, you're so evil. Oh, you're a bad person. We all got it. Right? Someone says, well, you pray for me, and you say, I'll pray for you, and then you forget about it. That's a whole other sermon for another day. But we do it, right? We're like, that's our out. My stepdad, Paul, that was his thing. If you asked him to do anything, he would let you know he'd pray about it. Well, I'll pray about it. That was his out. I'll pray about it. That's our out as Christians. I'll pray for you. You're hungry? I'll pray for you to get fed.
Yeah.
You're naked? I'll pray for you to get clothed.
Yeah.
You're sick? Well, you know, I'll keep over here, but I'll pray for you to get healed. But what God is looking for is some people that are greater than their words, but also put their faith in action.
Wow.
See, I can speak, but I got to put feet, as Tony Evans says, to my faith.
Wow. Yeah.
So when I speak and say I'm praying for you to get fed, how about I walk down the street and get you a cheeseburger and feed you?
Amen.
When I'm saying, you're naked, you need a nice winter's coat. How about instead of just saying, God, give the man a coat, why don't I, by faith, reach out, take the coat, and hand it to him?
That's right.
Come on. That's what we got to do. That's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Not simply talk about it, but actually get in and do it. We like to talk about it a lot. Oh, why isn't God moving? I'll pray about it. Why isn't God meeting people's needs? I'll pray about it. Why isn't God sending people to the church? I'll pray about it. Why isn't God saving people? I'll pray about it. When God says, why don't you put your shoes on and get out there and start giving and working and moving by faith physically?
Amen.
Tell people about me. Invite people to church. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, lay hands upon the sick.
Right.
Visit the destitute. Go to the person who thinks their lot in life is never going to change and let them know that there's someone greater that can give them peace and hope and joy and comfort. Not by praying for them over here, but walking over here, taking them by the hand and telling them about God's love and mercy and grace.
Amen.
God, why aren't you moving? I'm sure praying a lot. I'm glad you're praying. Most of us say that. We're not actually praying, but God wants us to put feet to what we're praying. You show God that you're serious when you get up and you take that man's hand and you say, rise up and walk. More than words. How many times he didn't just say, rise up and walk, and then wait and hope God did something. He had the faith that God would do what he promised he'd do when he said, well, you will lay hand on the sick and they will recover. So when he said, rise up and walk, he took his hand out, grabbed him by the hand, and said, get up.
Right.
He had no expectation that guy was going to lay there and not be able to get up. His expectation was when he took him by the hand and picked him up, he was going to get up and walk. And that's exactly what happened. Why? Because he put feet to faith. The Holy Spirit wants to use us to do awesome things.
Amen.
But we've got to be obedient to him and do those things. recognizing that it's not about the little that I have, but it's the whole lot that God has.
Amen.
Recognizing that it's not me, it's him. Was it Peter and John? That's why he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Right? And when the people pressed around, he told them it was in Jesus' name. I didn't do this. John didn't do this. He did this. Jesus did this. He was healed. And his life was forever changed. And he stood up and he walked and he leaped. A man who had never taken a step in his life. A man who had lived his life every single day laid at a gate relying on the generosity and the mercy of others. A man who knew that every day was going to be the same as the next day. No change, nothing, no hope for the future. Just day after day, mundane after mundane. All of a sudden, his life is forever changed by the power of the Holy Spirit because of the obedience of John and the obedience of Peter. His life is forever changed. He stands up, he's leaping, he's praising God, he's following them around, and then the Bible says here that they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And this event directly resulted in Peter and John being arrested. Because this man was healed. This miracle performed for this one man affected the whole region. So however many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. Acts chapter 4, verse 4. That's after Peter and John were arrested. The miracle happens. The people see it. They're arrested. They're locked away. But 5,000 people still got saved. That lets you know it had nothing to do with Peter and John. It had everything to do with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. When God uses us, it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with him.
Amen.
He has a purpose. He has a plan. He has wants to use us right where we are at. But we have to be sensitive. We have to be watching. We have to be looking. We have to be listening. We have to see the world differently. As we go in our daily routines, look at the world differently. Look for opportunities to be used by God to do amazing things in the lives of others.
Amen.
Something as amazing as just telling them Jesus loves them.
Amen.
May change their life forever.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you enjoyed it and were blessed by it. Each month, we have people from all over the world who listen to the messages made available. If you've been blessed by this ministry, would you consider making a donation of any amount to help support us as we continue to reach a lost for Christ? Donations can be made online at www.reviveoc.org or by check at Revive Outreach Church, 411 Chatham Heights Road, Suite 101, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22405. Thank you for your prayers and your continued support. May God richly bless you.